This is the program,
Faith Matters.
In this program, we'll discuss
blindness and other issues as they relate to God.
And we'll also take a look at many other life issues as well. Being blind ourselves,
we know
faith matters. Hello, everyone. Once again, Pastor Dave Andrews here.
Hello, I'm Cecilia Lee. We're glad to be with you again.
Indeed we are. Today, we want to talk about a special topic. One of the courses of the Christian Blind Institute is called Christian Caregiving. And Cecilia, you were the major writer and putter together of that class, right?
I guess you could put it that way.
Yeah, I'm
the course instructor.
Okay. And there's one specific thing there that we've talked about that has a lot of importance, and that is listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Listening is a very important part of the course, because it's by listening that we learn so many things.
Tell me more about that. I mean, we all, as people, listen. Why do you have that as part of the course?
Well, because I believe that there is a difference between active listening and passive hearing.
Active listening, passive hearing.
Uh-huh. For instance, okay. I can be playing music in the background as you come into a room, and you might think to yourself, that's nice music. And but then it might be that someone grabs your attention and says, oh, come over here, you've got to see this. Or maybe the class starts and I say, okay, let's get things started. And the music might still be going on in the background, or I might decide to shut it off. And you really didn't get much chance to hear or to listen to what it was all about.
So that's the passive listening?
That's the passive hearing.
Passive hearing, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's active listening?
Active listening is actually really paying attention and focusing on what's being said or heard. For instance, I can hear a song 10 times,
mm-hmm.
but until I understand what the words are all about, until I actually sit down to listen to it, I really haven't heard it, have I?
Okay. Now, how does that then connect with what you're teaching in the class to the students?
Because listening to others is a very important part of caregiving. Giving care involves listening. It's a key part of the caregiving process. Listening to what someone says, letting them discuss their problems, their story, the reason that they are receiving care. Listening involves many things. It involves hearing what is being said.
Okay, hearing what's being said.
It involves the tone of voice.
Tone.
It involves listening to what's not being said. Maybe they're avoiding something. Let's say that I say, how are you? And they...
Fine.
You sound like you're a little uncertain about that.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. So what am I being told by that tone of voice? I could be being told, oh, they're not fine at all. They're trying to avoid that. Or if they change the subject immediately after I say, how are you? I'm fine. Well, let's, and then they switch to, boy, it's a beautiful day out there.
Or trying to push you away from how you are.
Mm-hmm. Or from really discussing what is really going on. Active listening involves listening to where pauses occur. Maybe they've paused there. Maybe they're thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not sure. Or maybe they're thinking, whoops, how can I hide what I'm thinking there again?
Well, if I'm listening to the pauses and hiding, where's the danger then of over-listening?
Well, there's a danger in over-listening because sometimes those pauses don't mean anything. Sometimes there's silence just because there's silence. Silence is not necessarily a bad thing. I think that we blind people sometimes tend to be afraid of silence.
Oh, boy. I can think of many times many people they just don't like silence. In fact, they'll do anything to talk,
mm-hmm.
just to fill the silence.
I remember just the other day I was on the internet. I was on my multi-user dungeon or my multi-user dimension. Yeah, MUD. It's an online.
That's what I play in.
Well, this MUD is an online game. It's an adventure game.
Okay.
It's a role play, and it I love it. I have a lot of fun there. Mm-hmm. But the character that I was playing with was interacting with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And this other person or this other character wasn't saying anything for a while.
Mm.
And Cecilia, here on the other side of the keyboard, was thinking, what is going on? Are they getting bored? Maybe their computer is lagged. Maybe they're doing something else. Well, I should say something. So I would say something, and then I would think to myself, what did that really accomplish right there? And of course, all this was going on between two computers. But even so, it was silence, and I could not stand to have that quiet because I couldn't. I was afraid.
Would you think, as a blind person, that we don't like silence because we're uncertain of what's moving or not moving? Where if there's always conversation, even if it's your own, you can kind of either guess or hedge where the conversation's going, where it's moving, that you can keep up with things?
Yeah, I think you're right. In silence, there's insecurity in silence.
Ooh, ooh.
There's fear in silence. There is what is the other person doing or thinking that
all
I
right.
can't see.
With that in mind, we're getting off the track for a second, but do you ever go to your apartment and not turn on music, not turn on the computer, but let there be silence?
Very rarely. If the computer's not on, I have a tape on. If I don't have a tape on or a CD, I'm talking to the cats. I don't usually even go to bed without a radio or something. Silence is okay, and I can put up with it with people I know, with people I trust. But I have to have something happening.
Something.
Even if I'm talking just to the cats.
What do you think you'll do when the students are there at the conference? They'll be there for a whole week. You'll be working through this with them.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to this point of silence and listening, what are you going to deal with them? How are you going to cover that subject and issue, concerns to be raised?
Well, you know, and we took a brief break there for a second. I even said, boy, we should try this here on the air. And we can't because that's dead air. And you cannot have dead air on the radio.
Not on the radio. But what are you going to do in person at the conference?
Well, let's hope that none of my future students are listening. It might be fun for the first day to start teaching and then fall silent and observe their reactions. Then just do it for maybe just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
See if somebody tries to talk to fill that.
Mm-hmm.
I might even just say, now, guys, I want to try something, and then fall silent for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, once we've talked about some of the caregiving issues and things like that, and believe me, we're just scratching the surface of the course at this moment, say, now, guys, let's try something else. This time, I want 5 minutes of silence. You can take this time to pray. You can take this time to, I don't want to hear any type and speaks going, any clocks going. You can take this time to sleep for 5 minutes. Let's see what happens.
And then you're going to be discussing it.
How did you feel during that silence?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people
Because I know some people that I have spoken with on the phone that silence does not bother them.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see what they say, that the different types of reactions between those who like it, those who don't, and their perspective. That'll be very good. Maybe we can share that on the air then.
And I want to know what you listeners think. Mm-hmm. How do you handle silence? All right, so we've gone through silence and the lack of speech or the lack of sound. But then there's the other half of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we don't live in a silent world.
No, we don't.
We communicate, even if it's only 10%. 10% of our communication is verbal.
Through words, that is.
Through words.
There's
yes.
nonverbal sounds. And things
Thank
like
you.
that are verbal sounds that convey the other 90%.
Mm-hmm, right.
Although, actually, they say only about 20-30%, and then the other 60-70% is the visual.
Which we've talked about that, and that can be very hard for us. And I think that's another reason why we don't like silence, because we're trying to make up and to absorb everything. We want the whole picture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if there's silence, then we cannot see what's happening. Don't you just hate on a movie? And there's this climactic scene, and they're talking all of a sudden, and they might even be arguing, and then all of a sudden all you get is what?
Silence.
Or music in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. So we tend to get frustrated with silence. It's inconvenient for us.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
does things that confuse us and that anger us. We're missing something.
Mm-hmm. So what else are you going to do with the class talking about listening and silence? And how about too many words?
Well, sometimes there is the person that will not shut up. And sometimes I just need a second to think and to absorb. And that person is trying to feed me more detail than I want at that moment. So sometimes you have to say, hey, can you just give me a minute to think? Pastor, I know you and I have done that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I want to help you to understand what I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, before or after our Faith Matters shows, when we're saying, what are we going to do with this next one? And Pastor, I think we could do this, and here's an idea about this. And you, Cecilia, just give me a second to think.
Yeah, I'll say,
stop, please.
Give me 1 minute. And then a couple times you've said, and you came around and said, no, please stop. And you were polite enough then to stop. And then I'd say, okay, now I'm ready for more.
Well, what frustrates me there is that I might have a detail that you might not have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
But I've
mm-hmm.
learned, all right, until he can absorb what I've just given, giving it another detail is not going to do much good. Unless there's an absolutely crucial detail that you must have in order to think something through. And then I will say, no, I cannot stop here. I'll give you this, and then I will shut up.
Now, that's speaking about the act of talking, and that's certainly helpful to understand that sometimes too much information is not good.
Mm-hmm.
TMI, I've heard, too much information.
Yeah.
But what about listening? Is there too much listening ever?
Yeah, I think there is. Active listening, I'll never forget the first Faith Matters that we ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pastor, can you believe it's been 2 years now?
2 years?
Yes, it's been a wonderful 2 years.
Wow, yeah.
But I remember sitting right here, just as I am, and you were telling your story about mm-hmm. How you lost your sight and all that. And I didn't say, if I said 20 words during that half hour, and even then they were scripted out. We had planned everything out.
Yeah.
I was letting you tell your story. I was not asking any questions. I was sitting there like a little mouse, just being as quiet as possible.
Ah, yes, the good old days. Where did I go wrong?
Watch it.
Oh, sorry.
But
slip of the nonverbal, aren't
we? Yes. I wasn't giving you much to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's by reflecting what others say that sometimes if I reflect something back to you, so Pastor, you felt frustrated here. Boy, you know, you might think to yourself, yeah, I didn't see that. I guess I was frustrated there, wasn't I?
Tell me more about that reflection.
The reflection is meant to be not just a simple rephrasing of what others say, though some people believe that that's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's reflecting. It's saying, so, Pastor, what I heard you say was that the kids were screaming at you and your wife needed this and that. It really sounds to me like you were feeling a lot of frustration there.
Okay, so it's trying to tell the person what you think you're hearing.
What they've said, and then possibly to come to some brief conclusion about what was just said.
And a brief conclusion. Now, why would you do that?
To help me understand.
Why not just act upon that? Why are you telling somebody that?
Well, partially so that they can hear what they were saying.
Hmm.
So that they can hear what I heard them say. Sometimes you might say something to me, mm-hmm. like about the kids and your wife being angry with you or mm-hmm. whatever. I might hear you say something that makes you sound like you were frustrated. And you might say, no, it was really just an ordinary day.
Oh.
So no, you weren't
feeling
frustrated.
So the tone and inflection may have given a false illusion
or impression.
Direction. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember once that you and I were working with someone else, and I had said to you, you know, Pastor, I'm hearing that William is saying something to you, and you're saying something back, but it sounds to me like you two are not quite on the same wavelength with your communication here. Perhaps I can help. And so we brought you and William in together, and mm-hmm. You two were talking, and I think there were once or twice during that communication I was able to say, okay, William, you're saying this. Pastor, is this the message that you got? No, it wasn't. I guess I got this message instead.
Mm-hmm.
So listening
Sure, that makes sense, because not only are we talking and listening, but the perception of a person, whether you see them as an authority figure or an underling or
mm-hmm.
a younger statesman, elder statesman, that all influences how we hear that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
I can, and it also depends on what role they're playing. Now, you and I, for instance,
sure.
We have a couple of different roles that we play. There's the boss and the underling, which is what you and I are most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here on Faith Matters, we're a little less strict on that. I can argue with you. I can disagree. Mm-hmm. And then there's the occasion where we might be in a social setting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've just come home from a Faith Matters, and I end up stopping at your house, and we end up doing dinner or something like that, and
yeah.
I end up playing with the kids. So you can say something to me. You can make one statement to me and, as my boss, and I can hear it as, this is an order. This is a, you will do this. You must do this.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Here on Faith Matters, that could be a, you know, I'd really like to see this done, but I'll let you have your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that social setting, that same thing might be a polite jibe in my direction.
Now that I think about it, in social settings, I tend to be more sarcastic and joking.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
A little more reserve in the other roles.
And I've learned, especially,
yeah.
it's taken time, but understanding that what you're saying in those settings, as the boss, I am to obey. And I can argue, but really
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
want obedience there. But in the social setting, I can shoot a sarcastic remark back in your direction, and I know I'm not going to be reprimanded for it.
So the act of listening makes sure we're hearing what the other person is saying in that setting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
okay.
The role differentiation, keeping things clear. There's that aspect of active listening. I remember then we were talking about too much listening or too little.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that the next show you basically said to me in not in words, but in actions there. This is how you do it. And you were reflecting back beautifully what I was saying, because I was telling my story at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was helping me to be able to elaborate on what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Reflection of what we're saying, of one person's reflection of what the other person is saying, enables and empowers them to elaborate. Yes, this is what I'm feeling. Oh, yeah, I didn't really realize.
So sometimes the person who's talking doesn't always know what's going on in their own mind.
No.
But reflecting back gives them a picture and helps build the picture. So the act of listening helps bring into words and clarity the vision or the perception of what's going on.
That's right. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to reflect on something.
Okay.
Take a scenario with me, Pastor, if you will, for a minute.
All right.
Give me a, you're the one that's talking, and I'll show you one of the wrong ways to active listen.
Oh, boy, it's been a day. It's been a rough, long, hard day.
Oh, really? What happened?
Oh, first I went to the office and had a clash with my supervisor, and then a coworker was disgruntled and grumbled.
Well,
and
what did you do wrong? I mean, you must have done something.
No, I really didn't. It's just one of those things that the coworker was just having a bad, horrible day and said this and that, and I had to go back to my office, and then the boss came and. Oh.
Well, it sounds to me like you just didn't talk to that coworker in the right way. Now, if I were you, I'd try it this way. I'd simply, I'd let them stew and stone, and then maybe I'd say, I'd tell them what I think they should do next, and then I'd do it that way. So
well,
maybe that, you should just try that next time.
Well, I don't think that would work. Okay, bye. Yeah, I see what you mean.
All right, now let's take another one. Same, see, what I was doing there was I was offering advice.
Yeah.
But I hadn't even really listened to the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I listened to maybe 2 or 3 minutes or 2 or 3 sentences of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what did I do? I tried to offer advice, and I really didn't even know what was happening there. It could have been that you hadn't done anything wrong and that the coworker mm-hmm. was just having a bad day and that what I suggested probably wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, let's try that one again. I've got another wrong way to active listen. I hate this one.
Okay. Oh, boy, what a day. It's a rough day at the office today.
What happened?
Well, first I ran into my supervisor and said I had to have that report in, and then I stopped by the coworker's desk, and he was having a rough day, and he was saying things, and by the time I got to my desk...
Oh, you think you've had a bad day. Well, there was about 10 phone calls, and then my supervisor came in and yelled at me about it.
Yeah, I had a bunch of phone calls, too, when I finally got back to my desk.
Well, I had this one where this guy was just being obnoxious, and he was just being ridiculous about what was happening, and I was trying to help him, but he wouldn't listen to me because I was trying to give him some good advice. And then, would you believe, my boss wanted this huge 5-page report, and I can't do that. So, I mean, I've had an awful day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What did I do there?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you tried to one-up me.
I played Can You Top This?
Yeah.
And Can You Top This is not a fun game to play when you're trying to actively listen.
Not at all. It shut me down.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it basically said, I'm the one that needs to talk here. I need to do this. I'm the one that wants the attention here.
And that's interesting. I wonder in our country and actually all over the United, all over the world, not just the United States, how many people really do need to talk and have somebody listen?
Mm-hmm. Shall we try it one more time?
Okay. I don't know. I'm getting pretty paranoid here.
Let's try this one and see if I can't show the correct way of to actively listen.
All right. Oh, what a morning. Can't believe it.
You sound like you're pretty tired. You want to tell me what happened?
Oh, yeah. First, I came into the office and my supervisor came and said, I need that report by noon.
Oh, no.
And so I got up to go get the paperwork and I went by my coworker and he was having a bad day and he started talking and I didn't get back to my desk for another hour.
Oh.
And when I got there, then the phone rang. So I picked it up and they said, well, why haven't you called back? I've left 3 messages. Well, and I had to deal with that. That was another half an hour. And then I did listen to the message. And I had 5 messages and now it was 10:30 and I still didn't have it. Oh.
sounds like you really had a lot of frustration there.
Yeah, and I probably didn't handle it well, and I sure didn't do a very good job on that report.
It sounds like you're kind of feeling a little frustrated with yourself more than anything there, is it?
Well, yeah, that is part of it. I didn't give as much time and effort to that report as I should have, and it's not going to make me look good or the job that we were processing. And Roger, man, I don't know what was wrong with him. It just irked me that he just let off at me like that.
So it sounds like he was having some frustrations and wasn't taking the time to think about you.
No, not at all. He's usually a good friend, and I kind of went over just to joke and see if I could get some help for the report, and that's when he let in on me.
Sounds like you're feeling a little bit betrayed there. Is that right?
Never thought of it that way, but yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Hmm. And is there anything I can do to help? I mean, this report, you sound like you got it in, but is there anything I can do to help you?
Boy, at first I just appreciated you letting me spout off a little bit.
Oh, that's all right.
Feel better about that. And no, probably not anymore, but boy, thanks for listening.
Well, you know that I'm always here in case you need to do that. That's what I'm there for. That's what friends are for.
I appreciate that.
So, Pastor, what made that a good active listening scenario right there?
I felt like you really wanted to listen, that I got a chance to speak without being interrupted. I was able to start to express my feelings inside, which are just bottled up and had nowhere to go but swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl around my head.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave a chance for him to flow out in a straight line so I could understand the emotions I was feeling. I didn't even know what some of those emotions might have been.
Mm-hmm. Even just a 2-minute talk like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think would happen if you hadn't had a chance to get those feelings out? If this were really a real situation?
A real situation. They'd swirl and swirl and swirl. And when somebody gave me another pressure situation, they would have come out. And they would have come out in a disruptive, probably deadly, dangerous, disastrous way, inflicting upon somebody else the feelings that I had inside because they weren't properly channeled.
Possibly toward your kids, your wife, someone like that?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, many times I've heard, I'm thinking now of shifting it and flipping it. A lot of times we feel that, as that song mentioned, Sound of Silence, that's the way God is. But, you know, he speaks and he listens. And there's a real neat song that your music group sang that I'd like to turn to and listen to this song. And then we'll react one more time before the show ends.
Listen.
Listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy.
Jesus gave his mandate,
share the good news,
that he came to save us,
and set us free.
Listen.
Listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy.
Let none be forgotten
throughout the world.
In the triune name of God,
go and baptize.
Listen,
listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy.
Help us to be faithful,
standing steadfast,
walking in your precepts,
led by your word.
Listen,
listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy.
really nice piece. I love that. And that was the music group from...
That was the Faithful Servants Outreach Group, music group from our Outreach Center here in St. Louis.
In St. Louis. I love that song because of what it mentions, that God is there to listen to us, mm-hmm. and we can talk to Him.
Yeah, He calls us and He invites us.
Listen.
Yes, He calls and says, come, be baptized, walk with me. I'll help you. I'll be there for you.
And that we then, in return, are those ears for Him in the world.
And that's what we want to do for you. You may say, well, how can you care about me? You don't even know me. Well, as brothers and sisters in Christ,
we are here.
We are here for you. If you have problems, frustrations, concerns, if you have questions about the Christian faith, maybe you don't quite know who this wonderful God is.
Or if you'd like to look and learn more about this training,
mm-hmm.
Let us know. But also, don't forget that you can be an active listener wherever you are. And in that way, you are serving as part of God's body, the body of Christ here on earth, serving to help, as I said, swirling emotions, helping other people process through them.
And we can help you and we can teach you about more of that. We, as I said, haven't even scratched the surface of this course that I'm teaching. There's a whole different aspect of Christian caregiving that we haven't even talked about yet. We'd like to teach you more about that.
Give us a call at 314-776-3694.
Or send us an email at faithm@acbradio.org.
God is there. He listens. We listen. And I hope that you have heard today that
faith matters.